Okay. Good evening. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. It is 8:44 p.m. Eastern Time. And my name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of the committee. And I'm convening this meeting. And we don't have a secretary yet, so does somebody want to volunteer to call the roll? Well, if not, I'll do it. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Dwayne Lark?
Present.
Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Okay. Tom Voorhees? Not here. Okay. Robin Collier?
Present.
Heather Gray?
Here.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs? Vanessa, are you with us? Okay. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
And let's see. Oh, and Lydia Brazon, the interim executive director. Okay.
Alex, this is Lyndon. Did you get me present?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you.
Alex, this is James. You didn't call me.
James, I knew I forgot somebody. I didn't have a list in front of me. I was just going by memory.
No problem.
Okay. James, you're here. Okay. So I have 7 present. 1, 2, 3 are absent. That's Tom, Vanessa, and Lydia. Well, we have a quorum. If anybody can call any of those people that are not here, I'd appreciate it, Tom.
Yeah, I'm reaching out to Vanessa.
I'm working on it, too.
Okay.
You working on Vanessa?
So somebody should call Lydia,
Jane?
Too.
I'll do Lydia.
Okay.
I'll call Tom. Alex?
Okay.
This is
Tom.
Okay. Dwayne, did you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I'm going to call Lydia.
Okay, appreciate that. Okay, do we have volunteers to be timekeepers? I think we kind of agreed at the last meeting that people can speak for 2 minutes rather than a standard 90 seconds, if that's okay. We can stay with that. Okay. Nobody wants to volunteer to be a timekeeper? Okay.
I'll be the timekeeper as soon as I get settled a little bit. I can't see
that
way.
Okay. Appreciate that. Okay, excused absence. We don't really have excused absences actually in committees, although it's on the agenda. Traditionally it's on the agenda, but it's really not something we do in committees.
I'm not sure of that. But
never been the practice as far as I can remember. But I don't know if we actually have a set policy on that.
There's an old policy.
Yeah.
Not excusing absences. And if a person is absent two times, the chair is tasked with contacting the person and telling them that if they don't attend the next meeting, they'll be automatically removed from the committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was trying to explain last time. I think that even if you had excused, it's still an absence.
Right. So that was the policy from, I don't know when, 2008 or something.
Okay.
Adrian, I thought I'd drop you.
Alex, this is Heather. I tried to get Tom, and I could only get his answering machine, so I left a message.
Okay. Well, so be it.
We're revisiting that question about whether we have excused absences. Doesn't the bylaws read that if you miss three consecutive meetings, you're automatically off of a committee? Or
that refers to the board, not to committees. It could be construed to apply to committees, maybe. Also, you're allowed to have an excused absence in the bylaws, so it's not quite the same thing.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up in the first place. So that means excuses are relevant if what you just said is true and accurate.
Well, like I said, it refers to the board, not necessarily to committees. Right? And since there has been some policy about committees, we'll try to stick to that policy unless we decide to have a new policy.
The reason it's an issue for me, because I know what the policy was applied to going to the PMB's committees in 2018, where I was on the programming committee and missed three meetings, and I was removed. So it either applied to all committees or it don't apply to any.
Hello, Vanessa. Vanessa's calling in right now.
Okay, good. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Agenda approval. Let me read the draft agenda. We have 5 minutes allotted for agenda approval. Then there's nominations for secretary. That's a 3-minute item. Then there's a recovery plan for the audit, a 15-minute item. Again, that's up to Lydia if she gets on the call. Then there's an item discussion of affiliates business unit proposal. That's a 10-minute item. And finally, we have a preliminary discussion of underwriting. That's a 30-minute item. So do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
So be it. Fine.
Okay. Do we have any discussion? Okay. Are there any objections to approving the draft agenda? Okay. Hearing no objections, the draft agenda is approved. So let's go. Do we have, you've all had a little bit of a chance to think about it. Does somebody wish to volunteer to be secretary of this committee?
This is strategic planning, right?
Yes.
Okay, so last time we had a meeting, I did say that the next time we have a meeting that I would do it for this meeting, hoping that maybe this can be like rotated or something. So I'll take the notes tonight.
That'll be great. I should add, I did get some notes from Lyndon for the previous meeting, but they have to be, they're not exactly minutes, they're just sort of rough notes. I'll have to put that into the form of minutes before we could vote on those and approve them, which is why I didn't present them tonight. We didn't have a chance to do that.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I will do next one. I forgot my password, so I'm locked out of my computer.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a good thing.
I will do that.
Sorry. Okay, good. All right. Thank you, Vanessa.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to ask, at some point, I just need to get, and I guess maybe I'll figure it out during the meeting, like who the participants are.
I can send you a list at the end of the meeting.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Or if you want me to, I can read them off to you right now.
I'll take them right now.
Okay. The following are the members of the committee: Grace Aaron, Dwayne Lark, Lawrence Reyes, Tom Voorhees, Robin Collier, Heather Gray, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Lyndon Foley, Lydia Brazon, James Sagerton, and Alex Steinberg.
And everybody's here?
The people who are not here yet are Tom Voorhees and Lydia.
I don't think Lyndon Foley is here, is he?
No, he's here.
Yes, he is. He's here.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
All right, so we have two absences at the moment.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we took care of the secretary business for now. Recovery plan for auditor. Lydia's not on the call. Why don't we can get back to this agenda item. Lydia can get on the call later. How about we do that? We will have more discussions on a recovery plan, but this is a special item for the recovery plan wording that's supposed to go into the audit. And we need Lydia for that. Okay, so let's go on to the next item. Discussion of affiliates business unit proposal. I think the governance committee has made, it was referred to the governance committee and they have a recommendation. So Lawrence, could you tell us what that recommendation
is? Yeah, sure. So we had a presentation from Ursula Rutenberg, and also I believe Anita was on the call. And so was Arthur, to just so we could cover all bases, got a legal opinion that Arthur thought there was nothing that prohibits the affiliates from being a unit. There's no cost involved. It's just an adjustment on the ledger. And mm-hmm. And then Ursula gave us the history of the affiliates, which was pretty interesting. So she's been around 18 years, so she has a lot of history. And that was it. And then the committee voted 8-2 with one minority report from WBAI, and I submitted that to the board. And that's it. So we did recommend that the motion be adopted. The governance committee did recommend that the motion be adopted by 8-2 vote.
Okay, I don't recall the minority report. Can you summarize that for us?
Yeah, I could give it a shot, but I'll send it to you again. The minority report essentially, you know what? I can't summarize it, so I'm gonna send it.
I'm gonna pull it up and then I'm gonna send it.
Robin, I can summarize it basically shortly.
Okay.
The basic thing, they wanted to know why the previous IED didn't want it to be a unit, basically, I think. They didn't want to vote on it until they had that information. But
okay, I got it. I pulled it up.
Okay.
Let me just read it.
Okay.
Hello, Lawrence. I thought you said that that was something else. Confidential. I'm not going to mention his name because he marked it confidential. In my letter below, I discussed the actions of an employee, and therefore I believe it's necessary to treat my letter as a confidential document. Please treat this as a minority report on the issue of the Pacifica Affiliates Program
designation.
Point of order. We're on a public call. Is this appropriate?
Well, he doesn't. Yeah, you know what? Maybe we should go. If you guys, because he did mark it confidential. That's a good point, Grace. So I,
okay.
You know what? I don't feel comfortable reading it in open session.
Yeah.
No. If it's marked confidential, let's not get into that.
Okay.
And I don't really think it's absolutely necessary to read it in any case. At least over the air. Yeah.
It's essentially what Robin said. Is that, you know, Matthew Jackson did get a motion to address that, and there was a recommendation, and they're wondering why it wasn't adopted, the person that's submitting the minority report. And, you know, I could send this to everybody confidentially if you want. But I did submit it to the PMB the last meeting. But I'll forward it again.
Okay, that's appreciated.
Tom just joined the call.
Oh, welcome, Tom. Okay. Has anybody heard from Lydia?
No, I called her. She didn't answer.
Oh.
You might want to try texting her.
I did. I texted her as well.
Oh, okay.
So you could test it, Grace. Maybe she'll respond to you.
Okay. So, we got back the recommendation from the governance committee, and they see no obstacle to adopting the motion. It was Robin's motion originally. Robin, do you want to read your motion?
I'm sorry, I don't have it right in front of me. I'm sorry to say. Where is it? Here.
I could go find it. But
I can find it here. I just have to find it.
Okay.
And, sorry.
Well, what's the motion that's under discussion?
The making the affiliates into a separate unit.
Good.
Wrong place here. Okay, I think I have it here.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas on April 4th, 2019, the PNB adopted the recommendations of the Executive Director of the Pacifica Foundation to establish the Pacifica Affiliate Network to be recognized as a separate department, and the PNB affirmed the importance of discrete financial management, accounting, and reporting for the Pacifica Affiliate Network, and that now, in actuality, this functionally is the same as being a unit of Pacifica, the Pacifica Board now resolves that the Pacifica Affiliates Network be recognized and name a unit of the Pacifica Foundation.
Okay. The floor is open for discussion. Anybody want to be on the stack?
Put Dwayne to the stack.
Okay, Dwayne.
I was the one that... move to refer this matter to the governance committee, and since the governance committee has returned back with the position that they support the motion and find nothing inconsistent with the bylaws regarding the motion, then I am prepared to support the motion with a caveat, and that is that I believe that the motion obviously is in order, but I've asked Heather, and I asked Robin, and I'll ask the director of the Pacifica Affiliates organization. I understand that their concern and Robin's concern initially, and I'm sure still, was that they were feeling treated unfairly. That they were being treated unfairly and unappreciated. And I certainly did not want to have a hand in that. And since it's now clear that the governance committee doesn't feel that it brings any additional legal liability or exposure to the foundation, I support the motion and will vote for the motion, but I still ask the question to the three, what precludes and what has it been considered that the affiliates would incorporate themselves and become their own 501 and have their own structure and then just have a memorandum of understanding or an agreement with Pacifica that would give them autonomy. And certainly even with this PPP thing and EIDL loans, et cetera, they would be able to have had their own issues or advantages with regard to moving their foundation, moving their organization forward with autonomy and with a separate budget. So that's the question that I ask, that I continue to ask, but it won't affect my support of voting for it to be a unit.
Robin to the stack.
Okay, Robin, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we don't want to be a separate 501c3 organization. We have actually organized a separate 501c3 for the affiliate individual stations to work together with each other. But Ursula and the staff in Iowa are totally committed to being part of Pacifica. They believe in Pacifica and want to promote Pacifica. They don't want to be a separate organization. So they just want to be recognized as equal with all the other parts of Pacifica. It's just a matter of you know, just being at the same level as everyone else. That's all. We don't want to be separate.
Well, Mr. Chair, if anyone else would like to speak, I'd be like to place back on the stack.
Okay. Does anybody else want to speak first?
Yeah, Lawrence.
Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. So I am of the belief that I looked through the bylaws. I completely looked at them. I from the very first page all the way to the end, and there was nothing that prohibited, or there's nothing, I don't think, even in the motion that says that they're going to be a separate unit apart from Pacifica. And then there's no cost involved. So that's a good thing. I always thought this is my thinking, right? And it's subject to challenge, of course. But my thinking is that in the financial struggle that we're in, I believe that the entire network has to participate in some sort of committee of the whole to talk about the finances, and that includes the affiliates. Because their financials are, compared to a lot of the stations, are very impeccable. I mean, they keep good financial records. I know from the very beginning when they were a task force, and then when they were asked to pay fees to be affiliated with Pacifica, they have been pretty steadfast and pretty consistent with their payments and pretty consistent in their financial matters. So I mean, so that's one of the reasons I'm a support the motion, because I hope that we eventually have a meeting about the crisis, about the financial crisis we're in, notwithstanding the PPP money, because we really need to address all five stations, and we need the affiliates to be part of that discussion. They need to be at the table. So that's all I have. Thank you, Chair.
Sure. Anybody else? Okay. Dwayne, you can have your second round.
Alex.
Did I hear someone else?
I think I heard Heather.
This is just Heather. I just wanted to first thank people for their comments and so forth as an affiliate director. And I think, okay, so it is true that the affiliate program raises a considerable amount of money, 50% of which it gives to Pacifica. But, you know, I just have all myself as an affiliate director, but also as coming from an affiliate station, I've been so impressed with the outreach the affiliate program does to promote Pacifica, period. It's been so instrumental in countless ways. In the meetings I've had with people over the years, I just learned more about the outreach that the affiliate program does in promoting Pacifica, period. So I think it's just a wonderful program and alliance within the Pacifica network. To me, it's very important. I don't know what else to say except for that, but I thank people for their comments. Thank you.
Well, yeah. Go ahead. Anybody else?
Yeah,
okay,
Tom,
Tom wants to speak. You got to wait, Dwayne. Go ahead, Tom.
No, I support it, 100%. I mean, Pacific is the only, hopefully now, a real unit that has consistently brought money in, and to my knowledge, has never been a drain on the network, to the point where, most of the stations have at one point or another. The affiliate unit has, consistently bailed out several of the stations time and time again. So I'm in support of it. I'm done.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
Grace,
go ahead.
I support it, and I've been happy to see that in the Corona Race and Democracy broadcast, that a lot of material from the affiliates are in those broadcasts. They are really good, and I would hope that the stations start using more affiliate content. I think it would bring a lot of richness to our programming. So I agree that it should be a unit, a no-brainer.
Hey, Grace, you just took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say something very similar.
Oh, good.
Chair, can I go back on the spec?
Okay. Did everybody speak once who wanted to speak already? Okay, then Dwayne, then Lawrence, and maybe I'll say something after that, and then we can finish this part of the discussion. Go ahead, Dwayne.
Okay, since we're coordinating the affiliate. My further comments is just simple. Just like today, as an example, we all support the affiliates, and notwithstanding the fact that it's financials and all this, I mean, you kind of match apples with apples. The affiliates don't have a building to pay for. It doesn't have utilities in terms of some of these stations who've been around for 40 and 50 years. And so it's not matching apples with apples when you try to compare the operation of a WBAI or a KPFT or a PFW. So I don't want to get into that. I see the value of the affiliate being with Pacific, and I've frankly been listening to some of the programming that was referred to by Grace, and I haven't heard much. That's what my concern. I had that conversation with Heather about just how much has been pulled down. How much do the stations actually use? And of course, one of the problems with Pacific is that it's supposed to create its own content, and people want to get some of it, and we haven't made that yet. But it's never that I didn't support or would support it. I heard Robin say again that he wanted them to be equal. And so, I'm not politically correct. I think everybody knows that. And if any concern I have at the expense of a vote, I'm just going to say it. But I love to get people's votes, people's support, but I have to speak my truth. And my truth is that I would be concerned that if we're going to make it an equal, as Robin alludes to, meaning of the other five stations, that would mean equal to have four representatives. That means equal to basically all the other benefits or liabilities. And when I heard Robin say the other meeting that when is the affiliates going to get paid back, to me, that was a concern that if you are part of a family and you are an equal part of the family, I know in my family, if I have to ante up for my brother or my sister because they're short, I'll beat them about getting the money back, especially if they can't afford to pay it back. But in this case, obviously, we can and we should and we have. But in the future, I would look and be concerned that what I describe as incremental movement, when I look at the history of the affiliate, obviously it was a task force, then it was a department, now it's a unit, and I always look at incremental movement. And therefore, I say that we welcome it, we always have welcomed it. They're going to be a unit. I believe there's going to be unanimity with that. But I think in a family, one, and Robin is not the only one. We hear that from, I mean, I've heard that from FA. I've heard that from other groups that say, hey, well, we gained you, we need it back. And I guess that's natural, but that's just not the way I operate as a family. That if I gave it, it's for the good of the foundation. But congratulations. The affiliates will become a unit, and I don't know about the equality, because some of the stations don't feel equal as KPFT, for example, don't necessarily feel as an equal, so I'm not sure we're going to ever be able to achieve that, but I'm glad we're able to deliver what Robin's been trying to get done for 2 or 3 years now, so we can put this behind us.
Okay, Lawrence?
Yeah, thank you. I just want to thank the affiliates for coming on the task force, on the COVID task force. From the very beginning, they bought into the idea, and it gave the task force legitimacy, because then we were able to reach out to the stations and, you know, Ursula was there for us, and Heather was on the task force as well. So it really gave us the legitimacy. And the content that they contribute, I almost listen to the show every morning at 6 o'clock, whether it's on BAI, wherever it is, I listen, I tune in. And the content is fresh, and it's really outside of the box. And the affiliates' contributions have been key. It's very critical that, you know, we got headlines from them. We got stations that to do reports and to share content. And then I just got a text message from a listener that said that if we could take into account and consideration the minority report. So I just want to say that. Thank you, Chair. And I forwarded it to everybody except for Robin Kalia because I don't have his email address. So if someone can forward it to him, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, so I just want to make a brief comment, and that is that this whole idea of the affiliates becoming a unit was actually introduced on the Strategic Planning Committee about 2 years ago, and that was based on a discussion that myself and a couple of other directors had with the interim executive director at that time, and we did pass that motion at the time, but then it had some kind of implementation problems, which I don't want to get into the details of that, but I think we're finally just going to do it, and I'm glad to see that done. I think it'll be advantageous to the affiliates program because if nothing else, they'll be able to have a much clearer idea of their own finances. They'll have a separate budget, and they'll get regular financial reports from NEDA, like all the other units of Pacifica do. And also, I also want to remind everyone that this committee also initiated the idea. Well, I shouldn't say initiated. It's been floated before, but we brought it back after many years in limbo of the idea of national programming for Pacifica. And when the coronavirus task force came along, that really was a perfect match to begin a form of national programming, and that national programming involves the affiliates, and I'm very happy to see that, and I'm very happy to see the progress and all that. So that's what I have to say on that. So let me ask, are there any objections to the motion to promote the affiliates department to become a business unit of Pacifica? Okay, seeing none, that recommendation will go to the full board and will be considered at the next meeting of the PNB.
Okay, request for information.
Yeah, what is your request?
What else do we have on the agenda this evening? I'm up against another deadline here, and if there's anything else that I need to stay for a vote, I will. But otherwise, I'd like to get back to chasing my deadline.
Well, if our IED comes back on the call, then we could consider a motion for the strategic plan for the audit. And the other thing we have left on the agenda is a preliminary discussion on underwriting. I'm not envisioning any votes on that at this point. It's far too early in the discussion stage, and it's a very big topic. But I thought we could at least get started with a preliminary discussion. And that's really all there is left on the agenda for tonight's meeting.
Okay, well, if we get to a vote for that one next item, I'd really like to drop off, and if somebody would buzz me, I'll get back on if it comes to a vote.
Okay, I will.
I have a request for information. Would Tom like
Chair,
to give
us... Ryan, so I'd like to be on the back. Sorry, Grace. Go ahead.
Okay. We ask Tom if he'd like to give his opinion about underwriting before he leaves?
Oh, I'm solidly against it.
Okay.
I kind of guessed that. okay.
Well, before he leaves, could he give a little more than just solidly against it? We're going to hear some reasoning about why.
We don't need to do that right now. We're going to have much more discussion on underwriting. And I hope in the next time we get back to this, Tom will be at the meeting and we'll be able to hear fully from him.
Good enough.
Grace, did you have something you wanted to say?
No, just my question for Tom.
I
requested to be on the spectrum.
Okay, I'm going to drop off. If we need me for another vote, call me and I'll come back on.
Okay, I'll be glad to take a stack, but let me introduce the topic first, okay?
Okay.
So what I did was I sent out some documents. Actually, if you look at the date, these go back to March of 2019, when we had a previous IED. And that was also part of what was then a preliminary discussion on underwriting. Let me go through the documents. First, there was one version of a motion on underwriting that the then executive director felt was a good match for Pacifica. That's That's called, it's much too long to read. I'm not going to try to read it. That's a proposal for a Pacifica underwriting policy. None of these, we never approved any, by the way. We did this, we never approved any. Then there was another motion, it was, I guess you can call it a rival motion, that was introduced by myself on the Strategic Planning Committee for what we were then calling a motion on restricted corporate free underwriting, which was an attempt to work out criteria for allowing a very restricted form of underwriting that would be in conformity with the Pacifica mission and that would allow us to have partnerships with small businesses and community organizations, and but would also prevent us from engaging in any kind of partnership with the kind of players we don't really want to be engaged with, such as Amazon or petrochemical companies, or you know, things like that. And then there was a memo from our then FCC attorney Krigler on the ins and outs of underwriting and the laws. And I also sent out it's actually part of the actual FCC regulations on underwriting. And finally, there was kind of a nice summary of the rules for underwriting for nonprofits that somebody, I don't remember who, found it online somewhere, and I thought it was like a very nice succinct summary about it and what the different issues are with the FCC and so on. Now, to give a little history, we never went much past this because things came up that made us realize that even allowing a very restricted form of underwriting has a lot of dangers. For a moment, I won't even go into the philosophical issues and you know whether it's within the Pacific Commission to allow any kind of underwriting or is it immoral or not and so on. But there are some real practical issues in implementing any kind of underwriting policy. It's very difficult to do. It's very difficult to enforce compliance with FCC regulations. And we have had incidents, won't go into details, but we have had incidents in some of our stations where there was, let's say, we came very close, if not going over the line of what the FCC requires. And the penalties for that could be quite severe. So we don't ever want to do that. So anyway, what happened was that the PNB eventually passed a motion restricting all forms of underwriting till such time as we could review the entire matter again. So perhaps this is a good time to begin a review of the entire matter. So that's why I wanted to have just a preliminary discussion on this. I understand nobody has had time to read the documents, and I will be sending more documents in the next few days. Now, the other thing is some of our affiliates do underwriting. It's generally a restricted form of underwriting, and I have some templates of how they do it. And some of the other affiliates don't do any underwriting. I believe Robin Collier's station does not do any underwriting, and I believe Heather Gray's station does not do any underwriting.
No, we do underwriting, actually. We're small
businesses.
Oh,
you
do? Okay.
I do know Robin doesn't do underwriting. So anyway, that's it. The floor is open for discussion, and I think Lawrence wanted to go first, so go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. It would be good to take our time so we could read the documents before we get into a motion or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I think Ursula should probably be asked to do a presentation. She did a presentation, I don't know if you remember this, Heather, when we were in Washington, D.C. at an in-person P&B meeting. She did a pretty extensive presentation. I think it was like 45 minutes. And she distributed some documents, and I don't know if it's the same documents. I haven't looked at them yet. So they have experience, and I'd be interested to find out what is restricted donations and what kind of organizations do they reach out to, and what kind of organizations support them. I don't remember exactly because I've become a senior now, so I don't actually remember exactly Ursula's presentation. But it was pretty thorough, I remember that, and it was well presented. So I think at some point, once we extend the discussion and once we get into the discussion, that we invite Ursula to do some sort of presentation for us in terms of how the affiliates manage that and how they can still maintain their edge and their independence, their radio edge and independence and their relationship with the community. That's it. Thank you, Jeff.
Okay. Who else wants to get on the stack?
Alex, this is Heather. I just want to, first of all, thank you so much for these materials. I've not seen a compilation like this, which I so appreciate. I have been talking with some folks, you know, in Pacifica about the possibility of underwriting, and I've been talking with Dwayne Lark a little bit about this as well. But what I'd like to do is to get some additional information from the affiliates, and I agree that it would be great to get Ursa to come on and talk about this. But I'd like to find, first of all, I want to read everything that you have here, Alex. I appreciate you sending me that out again. But I'd like to do some additional research on this, and I'll be talking with Ursa as well. I have been talking with her a bit about underwriting also lately. But and I'd like to, perhaps not tonight, but I'd like to share what we do at WRFG in Atlanta. And I need to say that I have so appreciated the work that we've done, actually, because it's sort of a complementary kind of thing. We're supporting small businesses in the city. And I've mentioned this in one board meeting or task force meeting, but that I'll never forget this one woman coming up to me. She said, "Heather, I will be eternally grateful to WRFG because were it not for WRFG, I would not have known about this small store in East Atlanta." I thought, oh, that's wonderful. But the other thing that I need to say also, that underwriting provides the opportunity for those of us involved with the radio to go into various small community business associations and so forth. It's just wonderful outreach. So anyway, but I'm not going to belabor this point right now. I just want to write up something and provide some additional information after I've done that, Alex. So thank you.
Thank you, Heather, and I can certainly send you more documents as we progress in this discussion.
So I'd like that. Thank you.
I've got a whole bunch of them somewhere on my computer.
Robin, to the stack.
Okay, Robin, go ahead.
I mean, what's difficult about having limited underwriting is each different community has to come up with what's okay and not. You know, you could say we're only going to have nonprofit organizations do underwriting. And in a lot of communities, that might be fine and really not get into any conflicts of your coverage and so forth. But, for example, in our community in Taos, tourism is a huge industry, and it's basically destroying Taos, I'm sorry to say. And, unfortunately, a lot of the nonprofits depend on tourism, the museums and the art gallery nonprofits. And so if we accepted underwriting, we would be constrained to not speak badly about tourism. So, you know, like I say, and that's our particular situation. You know, in another community, it might be another issue that is very hard to define in a guideline. Like, we're only going to take this type of underwriting. So that's where it gets really difficult. I'm not against underwriting per se, and I agree with Heather that a lot of times if you're doing underwriting for locally owned businesses of families that have been here 100 years or whatever, that's great. It's not a conflict. But how do you draw the line? What's a family business and what's a corporate business? You know, I mean, it gets very difficult. So that's going to be the challenge if you do accept some kind of underwriting. How do you draw the line of what's acceptable and not acceptable? And, of course, then you've got to also communicate to the listeners who you've been telling for how many decades that you're listener supported only, and now you're going to do underwriting. How do you explain that? How do you change your image? So that gets difficult. So it's going to be an interesting discussion.
Well, those are all good questions, Robin. Yep. Anybody else?
Grace for the shack.
Grace, go ahead.
I'd like to say that I'm against underwriting from an ethical standpoint, but I'm also against it from a practical standpoint. APFK has been doing a form of underwriting, community events, basically, which I don't object to all that strenuously. But even with our radio station, which is a fairly large one, yeah, the whole program seems to be running at a loss. It's expensive to administrate it. There's the liability of doing it wrong and running into FCC violations. I believe that from my calculations, I was the IED for 3.5 weeks last summer, and my research showed, although this is not necessarily totally accurate, but I believe the program was running at a loss. Underwriting is also pegged to our listenership. It's basically, the larger corporations will pay for a slot just the way they an underwriting slot, just the way they would pay for a regular advertising slot. It's calculated based on our listenership. With our low listenership, generally speaking, the amount of money we would get per underwriting spot would be so low that it just doesn't pay, because it doesn't cover the administrative costs. Of course, if your listenership is, if each of our stations 20 times their listenership, then it probably would be cost effective, but currently it's not cost effective. The other point is this: corporations are in huge trouble now, and they're drastically cutting their advertising dollars and their underwriting dollars. So our very successful NPR station in LA is in fund drive. And they have said on the air that they're in debt by $10 million. They've already cut executive staff, and they're going to be doing layoffs because, and this is a very, very, the most popular news talk station in Southern California. They're running into severe trouble because their underwriting revenue has plummeted, as well as their major donor revenue. So now is not the time to invest in this type of thing. I respect people who think it is an option, but I think that we have to come to grips with the situation in the world as it is regarding funding, and work on the places where we can find funding, not the ones that are less likely to bring us funding at this time.
Okay, thank you, Grace. That's definitely food for thought. Anybody else?
Yeah, that's I want another bite out of at the apple.
Okay, let me just find out if
sure.
Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet. Okay, go ahead, Lauren.
Okay, I just want to be clear I've always been against underwriting because of a lot of the same reasons that Robin and Grace mentioned. I'm afraid that we're going to compromise our principles to get money. So I don't want to. But now, I have an open mind, but I'm certainly not willing to jump on the bandwagon of taking underwriting. But I think it's something that's worth a discussion, a conversation about, obtain more information. I'm generally of the thought that Grace and the caution that and the questions that Robin presented. So I just want to say that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, let me just say this: that we need a uniform policy on underwriting, whether it's to agree to some limited form of underwriting or to ban all underwriting, whatever it is, we need to have a uniform policy. Right now, we just sort of have a kind of a temporary policy, and even that temporary policy, from what I understand, is sometimes being violated, and that's not a good. So we really need a policy on this. And from what I've been hearing, the main drive for underwriting comes from those stations that have that largely are oriented toward music programming, and that, I think in the Pacifica network that would be primarily WPFW and KPFT. And I know there have been proposals for some kind of underwriting or even a limited time period experiment for underwriting at each of those stations. There's also been proposals that came out of WBAI for underwriting, and KPFK is, well, I won't say anything more about KPFK. I know KPFA has been consistently opposed to any kind of underwriting. I think that seems to be a position that is shared by all the different factions at KPFA. I'm just saying this is where the impetus for this discussion is coming from. There have been proposals from time to time to allow some kind of limited form of underwriting, and I think we have an obligation to at least consider it. Okay, anybody else?
Alex, I'm curious, in the discussion, so are we talking about underwriting even for nonprofits? Is that included in the mix here? I'm just curious. What are we talking about here? Nonprofit organizations that are, you know, they have some kind of underwriting spot to announce upcoming meetings or gatherings or something like that.
Well, I mean, we are a nonprofit. I mean, of course, we're talking about underwriting for nonprofits. I mean, that's the only kind of underwriting we are talking about.
Exactly. Okay. All right.
And nonprofits are allowed certain forms of underwriting. I wrote a sort of a historical survey about this a while ago. It's another. I mean, I can send that one out as well. There are a lot more restrictions on underwriting for nonprofits than for. In fact, basically, commercial stations don't need underwriting. They just have commercials. So.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. They do sometimes have what they TSAs. But generally, those are, you know, they don't make money on those.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
I'd like to see what you wrote up.
Okay. I'll dig it up.
Right.
Lawrence, to the fact.
You already got two bites at the apple, Lawrence. If there's nobody else at the stack, I don't mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
okay.
I was going to not say anything, but
I can't hold myself any further.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Dwayne.
First off, I disagree with you with respect to consideration of underwriting with just nonprofits. And I disagree with this boogeyman in the room that is often brought up.
All right, hold on, excuse me. We're getting some background noise. Could people mute themselves who are not speaking?
Thank you. I'm not as afraid of the boogeyman as other folk are with respect to underwriting being immoral. Obviously, if you have immoral people who are running the station or who are programming and you have immoral behavior, you have some issues already and you don't have underwriting with respect to people, behavior, maybe even outright payola that you don't address as a foundation. And the FCC has not sanctioned us. I haven't seen one FCC sanction with respect to any activity of underwriting, promoting, or whatever through Pacifica Airways. So this booger bad just simply don't exist. And when we look at some of the other models of underwriting across the spectrum of nonprofit stations, whether they're university stations, whether they're religious stations, whether they're community radio stations, or in our category, which sometimes is a fleeting description. But the truth of the matter for me is, I hear all these descriptions and why not, and why against it fundamentally, but yet I see no alternatives. No one, after they get through saying, don't do that, saying, okay, these are examples of new money streams we can create. So I take a lesson from my dad that it's okay to tear something down or to say, don't do that, but you ought to have something to replace it with. And since we are dying and struggling financially of money, who would sell their souls? If we're all Pacificans, if we all believe in the mission, if we all have certain modicum of integrity, then why would we be so concerned about immorality and no integrity with respect to underwriting? That boogie bad don't exist. But the undercutting, the undergirding, the real issue I have with those who don't and won't consider underwriting is put something on the table that's going to bring money into this foundation instead of outright saying that ain't going to work and with great arguments about this is not the time and that other stations are losing. Hell, we're losing money. We've been losing money for 30 years. And to cite one example, and I can cite four examples here in Houston that have millions of dollars of revenue from underwriting, and they certainly haven't been sanctioned by the FCC and don't nobody can question their integrity or their morality. For instance, when I said I disagree with you about an exclusivity of underwriting concept with nonprofits, there are mom-and-pop shops. Heather and I have just talked about this. There are mom-and-pop shops who love community radio, who love KPFT, for instance, and donate. What in the hell is wrong with having them one line or two lines saying mom and pop are supportive of this radio station? And mom and pop is located at 4202 Briard Street. I'm not asking you to go to mom and pop. I'm just telling you mom and pop has supported this station and this foundation for some years. It implies that maybe if you love the mission here, maybe you ought to support mom and pop. Not only mom and pop, they're mid-level companies that you assume want to come in and tell you how to run your station, or you assume they want to control your station. That boogie bad don't exist. It's just in your mind. Because when you have a station manager and a program director and you have rules in place, then you're able to run an operation of integrity. You're able to run an operation that acknowledges businesses that support your station, and you can stop asking your individual members 15 times a year to donate $25. So I just think many of the arguments are insidious, and they just don't comport with what reality is that Grace referred to. If I see a different reality in radio than she sees. And so the book of bad don't exist for me, and I see enough models around the nation, but most especially in my own radio market, the 10th largest radio market in the nation, where individual community and nonprofit stations have been very successful and have not been sanctioned by the FCC, and no one in the community questions their integrity nor their mission. But I wasn't going to say all of that. I was going to reserve it for when we have the debate at the PNB, but I just had to.
Okay, well, thank you, Dwayne. Well, this discussion on the Strategic Planning Committee will eventually go to the PNB if we come up with some recommendation. But I don't, you know, I think we're going to have a series of discussions on this before we're ready. I think I don't see us coming to a meeting of the mind.
Well, I don't think it's limited to this committee. This motion can come out of Development Task Force. It can come out a number of ways. And the guidelines and the proposal of what the rules will be. It won't just necessarily come out of strategic planning. It can come out of a number of ways.
Come out of the Strategic Planning Committee, but at this point it is coming out of the Strategic Planning Committee.
Well, it isn't coming out. It ain't going nowhere. That's the whole point. It's the discussion.
It's a preliminary discussion. We'll have further discussion.
And it's not exclusive. It's my only point. It's not exclusive.
You're free to discuss it elsewhere, but this is going to be the focus. Okay. Anybody else on the back?
Chair, if there's nobody else on the stack, I'd like to get another bite.
Yeah, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. So I believe that, you know, again, that discussion, I don't want to repeat myself, but that this discussion needs to be had almost like an open forum kind of thing with the whole PNB. I understand that it's in the SPC. And we're going to have the preliminary discussion here. But I think all the directors and even the committee of the whole, to take it to a committee of the whole, should have that discussion as well. I agree that we need policy because we have no policy. We definitely need something in writing, but I wouldn't want to rush that. I would like us to have that conversation and also invite the entire PNB into that conversation as well. So, again, a committee of the whole, I think this is the kind of discussion that needs to be held in the committee of the whole. Even you may want to consider one of the town halls to have this discussion with listeners. And because I think this is a major concern because Dwayne's point is well taken, but the point of compromising our principles, because we're a very unique nonprofit. We're not like other nonprofits. We are a very unique nonprofit, and you know, we have a mission statement, and we have the fact that this was founded by pacifists and a lot of the radical stuff has come out of Pacifica. So I mean that really tells you everything right there. And so I think what I'd like to do, you know, short of making a motion, I think I'd like to us to consider making a motion tonight to have an open forum, a town hall. One of our town halls, because we have four, and we're going to work on the second soon, but that we have a town hall, and we
make this one of the topics. And this way we could have a rich discussion. Maybe we'll make it 3 hours, a rich discussion about the whole idea of underwriting and to see what the listeners had to say and others. So thank you.
Okay. Let me just react to that, Lawrence. I mostly agree with what you're saying. We need to broaden this discussion, and that may include having a town hall meeting that includes a discussion on this topic. But let's get back to why we have committees in the first place. We have committees in order to do the preliminary groundwork, to do the research, to do, so to speak, to do the homework, to inform us, those of us who are going to dive into this on a deeper level than is going to be possible for all the board members to do. So that's why we have these discussions on committees first. Then we refer the matter to the full board, and in certain situations we may even want to take the discussion beyond just the board and go directly to our listening communities through something like a town hall meeting. I think any decision on policy this fundamental should include that larger audience, but I think we need to do that homework on this committee first.
Alex, can I say one other thing before we end this discussion?
Sure, go ahead, Heather.
I just want to mention to everyone that my job for like 23, 24 years was the communications director for the Federation of Southern Cooperatives Land Assistance Fund. So it was working with farmers, black farmers across the South, and a lot of our work, of course, was in cooperative economic development. So encouraging farmers coming together to sell their produce or whatever. And, you know, so as far as, let's just say an example that a cooperative wanted to promote something or underwrite something, I would jump at the chance to do that. I mean, I think there's this assumption that all businesses are, there's something wrong with them or they're corrupt or something like that. And that's just simply not the case. So, I mean, that we don't need to get into more of a discussion about that right now, but I just wanted to mention that as well. And I tell you what I would appreciate if we're having this discussion at some point, to have one of our co-op leaders actually making a presentation to the Strategic Planning Committee. I'd love to be able to do that, if that's possible. So I'm just putting that out as a suggestion.
Okay. Thank you, and that's an excellent suggestion. Anyway, we're coming up to the top of the 10 o'clock hour, and we're supposed to adjourn then. Before we do adjourn, we have about 3 more minutes. Does anybody else wish to make a comment on this topic? Okay, if not, can we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
By the way, we are meeting next on July 18th, I think. Let me see. Give me a second. July 13th, excuse me. 2 Mondays from now. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we're adjourned. Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Alex. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.